Taiwan has elected a new president. He is President Lai Ching-te from the Democratic Progressive Party. The U.S. says this means that Taiwan must want their independence. But is that true? Joining me to discuss is Carl Zha. He comes to us from Bali. He is an expert on Asian politics and host of the Silk and Steel podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. So can you give me a summary of what this means and what this party stands for?
I think there's a little bit of a lag, but I think I catch most of what you said, Natalie. So I'll give my take. Right now in Taiwan, the election just completed. The current ruling party, DPP, won the third term. The DPP candidate won about 40% of the vote. Not a really overwhelming popular mandate, because 60% of the voter actually voted for the opposition party candidates. But the problem was that opposition was divided. So it was a three-way election, and the 60% of the voters was split between 30% voted for KMT candidate, the main opposition party, and the 26% voted for the third, the People's Party, which is the new party that emerged out of this election. So the ruling party, DPP, actually hasn't been very popular because of COVID policies and because Taiwan's flagging economy. Just for little background information for the users who may not be conversant in Taiwan politics, Taiwan has been running a basically two-party platform for a good 30 years. It alternated between the DPP, Democratic Progressive Party, and the KMT, Kuomintang, or the Chinese Nationalist Party. And the KMT party, they originally came from mainland China after 1949. After the Chinese Civil War, the communists won the victory. The governing party of China, the Chinese Nationalist Party, aka KMT, they left mainland China, they went to Taiwan, and they ruled Taiwan as a military dictatorship with U.S. support for until 1990. In 1996, that's when Taiwan held its first presidential election to all parties. And that's when the opposition to DPP during the 60s, 70s, 80s, during the period of dictatorship, that gave the rise to the DPP party. The DPP party platform is Taiwan independence.
Okay, so if I were to boil this down, I would say that DPP is actually the platform of Taiwanese independence, but that is not the appetite of the entire Taiwanese population, as the media might have us understand. Is that correct?
That's correct, because the DPP, they came out the party platform of Taiwan independence because they feel the KMT is an outsider party that came from mainland China that took over Taiwan. They took over the governance of Taiwan. They felt this is a mainlander's party. So they advocate a completely disassociation from China in order to kind of overthrow the KMT rule. So that's, they kind of have this legacy platform for Taiwan independence. But when DPP finally won presidential election and a DPP presidential candidate got elected, things got interesting because instead of declaring Taiwan independence as a party platform proclaim, they kind of backtracked because they said, well, we don't have to declare independence because the Republic of China on Taiwan is already an independent entity. So we don't need to declare of Taiwan, which was written in their platform. So that is for the past two terms of DPP presidency. The DPP won the election for the last two election cycles, but they did not declare independence because they say, well, we don't need to declare independence. The Republic of China, quote unquote, on Taiwan is already independent. And the current DPP candidate that won the election, who was a VP of the previous administration, also reiterated the stand. So essentially, there's not much difference between the DPP party and the KMT party when it comes down to declaring Taiwan independence. Both parties are essentially status quo parties. They want to maintain the status quo, which is Taiwan de facto separate from mainland China, but they don't want to declare Taiwan independence outright because that would potentially provoke a war, because the Chinese government in Beijing has repeatedly said they would not tolerate Taiwan independence. So, which really means this larger scheme of things means just the same old continuation of the last 10 years. There will be continued tensions with mainland China. Beijing government obviously doesn't like the fact that DPP party, which is openly hostile to mainland China, going to continue another term. But at the same time, the equation hasn't changed drastically. And again, in Taiwan, they hold the presidential election together with a parliamentary election. And DPP actually lost their majority in the parliamentary election. So right now, KMT, the opposition, hold more seats than DPP in the Taiwan legislature. So the new DPP president who is coming in is going to face a hostile legislature. He's probably going to be a lame duck president for his four-year term. And let's face it, Taiwan is a case where it doesn't matter which ruling party is ruling the island. They all have to answer to, anything they do in Taiwan, like a big step, like hold a referendum on Taiwan independence, for example, they would not do it without explicit approval, backing, and encouragement of Washington. And at this current juncture, Washington is embroiled in a multi-front war already. The United States involving a proxy war against Russia in Ukraine. And they also is involved in supporting by backing Israel over the Palestine conflict. US is getting dragged back into Middle East. US just bombed Yemen. So all the US aircraft carriers, battle groups are currently in the Red Sea, in the Arabian Gulf, in Mediterranean. There's not much spare manpower or military asset to be redeployed to Western Pacific. And the last thing United States or Joe Biden wants to see is to open a third front war with China. So we're looking at a continuation of tensions across the Taiwan Strait, but not much has changed the current election result.
If you read the Western press and their coverage of this, they are presenting China as this really pissed off entity, this bad actor, aggressive, bad guy. And yet they allow this to go forward. They allowed the election to happen. And so what do you think is the real appetite of China for war? And how do they perceive this? They've said that it's a domestic affair, which Taiwan says is disrespectful. And so what is really the appetite of any kind of aggression for Taiwan?
So first of all, United States has a one China policy, and the United States doesn't even have an official relationship with the government on Taiwan. Like, United States do not officially recognize the government on Taiwan. In 1979, as part of normalization of relationship between China and United States, Jimmy Carter actually read out what US one China policy is. He's publicly stated there's only one China and Taiwan is part of China. And we only recognize the legitimate government of China as the government in Beijing. So that's a pretty explicit statement. And Joe Biden has recently reiterated that U.S. position on Taiwan has not changed during his summit with President Xi Jinping in San Francisco. So, none of the major Western government recognize Taiwan as a separate state apart from China. So again, this is where the Western press, they kind of play a game, playing on the ignorance of their readership that they would not know the official position of their government. And again, China's position has always been that sovereignty is not a negotiable, and they always come, you know, the last Xi Jinping gave that is that he is committed to the peaceful reunification with Taiwan. You know, the key word is peaceful. And of course, China does not renounce the any options to reunify with Taiwan, including with force, but they have always emphasized what they want is peaceful reunification. Now, China obviously not happy with the current election result. They would much rather have a more friendly KMT party in power. You know, the last time a KMT president was ruling over Taiwan, they had worked out many trade deals. Like they finally opened up direct linkage between, say, you know, allow Taiwan businessmen, for example, to fly directly from Taiwan to China. Now, this particular juncture, that it just means the continuation of the past 8 years of the DPP presidency, where the administration on Taiwan will cling even more tighter to the U.S. ties, basically signing on the U.S. containment strategy versus China. But Taiwan government really don't have much to say on this. You know, for example, Taiwan's economy is struggling right now because the U.S. tech sanction against China, which means the Taiwan's main economic powerhouse, Taiwan Semiconductors, TSMC, is not allowed to sell to its main customer, tech companies in mainland China like Huawei. And so they're losing a lot of their market. They have to, they've gone through multiple rounds of layoffs, and that's affecting the Taiwan economy. That's something that there's nothing Taiwan government could do because they have to comply with the U.S. sanction. And so fundamentally, the Taiwan issue is not a Taiwan local issue. The Taiwan issue is an issue between China and United States. And right now, U.S. is preoccupied elsewhere in Ukraine and in Middle East. It probably does not want to antagonize China further by stirring trouble in Taiwan Strait. On the other hand, China's primary focus is still domestic development, as it has been for the last 40 years. And the war obviously would destroy all that. So China has no incentive to start a war over Taiwan right now, especially when China is still growing. The China's relative strength is still growing versus United States year by year, month by month. So 5 years from now, 10 years from now, China will be even stronger versus United States. There's no time is on China's side. There's no reason for China to rush this issue today when you can wait 10, 15 years when China will be much, much stronger than today. So there is no, I mean, unfortunately, you know, for a lot of the news organization around the world, there won't be a big news. You know, there won't be a war. There won't be like flashy headlines. The reality is quite boring. China will continue to rise in the background. They will not make any risky moves over Taiwan. Meanwhile, the Taiwan government, no matter DPP or KMT, they'll probably also not risk a war by unilaterally declaring independence, which means we're going to see the status quo over Taiwan Strait for the foreseeable future, for next 5 years at least.
Well, I would love a quite boring foreign policy, which is just keep your eyes on your own paper, stay out of foreign wars, and continue to grow your own economy and your own nation stronger every day. That's amazing. Thank you, as always, Carl Xia, for joining us. You can find him at the Silk and Steel podcast, also on X. It was once Real Carl Xia, because I think you got hacked or something, and then now it's just Carl Xia, right?
Just Carl Xia, just Carl.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you again, as always, for joining us on Redacted. I look forward to speaking
to you
again another time.
Thank you for inviting me.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.